You're listening to Daily Paul Radio. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. WGRR Digital.
Welcome to Blue Republican Radio with me, Robin Kerner, the original Blue Republican. Blue Republican Radio, open-minded show for liberty, for the liberty curious. We're about winning supporters for liberty more than we're about winning arguments, and that's the philosophy of Blue Republican. We've done a good few shows now. I think we've got about a dozen in the bag, and we started at the end of January. And already we're getting 10, 12,000 downloads a show. That number is growing. That's super exciting for me. My God, 3 years ago I wrote an article. I had very little interest in politics and certainly didn't think I was going to be a political activist. And now here we are, how things grow. I've had the pleasure of meeting lots of fantastic people in the movement and having the honor of having my thoughts read by wonderful people who care about this country, you know, patriots, and it's very humbling to think that maybe I, along with many of you listeners out there, can actually make a difference to this nation of, what are we now, 320, 30, 40 million? What a fantastic responsibility we have, and what an amazing basis we have for doing this with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which, by the way, I have right up here on the wall. I do this show from my dining room table, my little apartment in Seattle. I live in a lovely part of the city, and overseeing this little setup, mixer and professional microphone all hooked up to my laptop, is in six large framed sheets. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And if I can bring some of that spirit with this radio show, then I guess I'm doing something good. I hope you've enjoyed the guests that I've had on over the last 3 months. As you know, we've had quite a wide range of guests, and if you don't know that, and you know, you want to kind of kick back with a coffee and take a break one evening, just download a few of the shows. They're all archived. They generally get archived 2 or 3 days after the show comes out, quote, live, unquote, at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, every Monday. As I say, 10 or 12,000 listeners, that's fantastic, and some great guests. But this time, today, I thought, you know, I'll do something a little different. I think I'm just going to talk to you all. Because, you know, I'm kind of this face of Blue Republican right now, but there are so many more people who are building it. And I would like to talk a little bit about what is going on at Blue Republican, you know, what Blue Republican is becoming. Now, I guess if you're listening to this, you probably know where it came from. You probably know what we stand for. But obviously, I'm in the business of attracting new listeners and new people who can see and understand Blue Republican and who can decide that maybe this resonates with what they believe about what this country needs. So let me just talk a little bit about it. Blue Republican is called Blue Republican because of how it started. I am not a signed-up Republican. I never have been. I'm not even an American citizen, so I couldn't be even if I wanted to be. But one thing I've always been against is kind of partisanship. You know, the idea that the people who are in the same political box that you're in have all the right answers and that all the problems were created by people who are in other political boxes. Never been true, not true now. So I kind of have a default skepticism with respect to pinning my colours to any mast, because of course also it isn't the label or the team that matters, right? It's the principles, and the Blue Republican seal says principle over party, peace, liberty, constitution. It's a pretty simple prescription. Well, it all started back in July 2011 when I wrote an article on the Huffington Post called If You Love Peace, Become a Blue Republican just for a year. And the argument of that article was, written as it was, to my friends on the left, because on the people reading the Huffington Post tend to be middle and left. I was saying, look, if you voted for Obama in 2008, because you wanted to vote against Bush's Republicans, because you like crony, you don't like crony corporatism, you do like civil rights, and you don't like preemptive war, all these things that have come, become associated with Bush and the Republicans, then, you know, you voted for Obama in that case for good reason. But there I was writing in 2011, and we saw basically under Obama's Democratic administration, a continuation of what was going on with Bush, in all of the areas that mattered, at least. Ever-growing government, of course, continued military action in places from which we are not directly threatened. Nobody thought, well, maybe some people did, but few people were talking about the possibility that we could get anything worse than the Patriot Act. Not only did the Patriot Act get extended under Obama, we also had the NDAA, an abomination. And the crony corporatism thing has been carrying on, of course, and whereas under Bush we were all talking about Halliburton, remember that? Under Obama we were talking about the big banks and the bailouts. And it deserved to be talked about a lot because it represents a fundamental corruption in our society through our financial system. And that's what has been exposed over the last few years. So there I was writing, look, if you were voting for Obama for good liberal principles of civil rights, peace, the rule of law, etc., etc., and an end to all this crony corporatism, then stick to those principles by voting for the one guy that had a track record on them. And that, of course, was Ron Paul, an old, white, conservative Republican. That was what we had to do as proper, true liberals. And I don't mean, you know, statist progressives who just really want to impose their view on the world and they call themselves liberals when they're doing it. I'm talking about good people who in good conscience voted for Obama for the reasons that I just outlined. So I said, look, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do the right thing by your liberal principles, then you need to be in the Republican Party so that you can vote in the primaries in your state and have some small influence to help put Ron Paul, with his track record on all of these issues, on the ticket. And anyway, we couldn't do anything about the Democratic ticket, right? Because obviously Obama was going to be the nominee for president in 2012. But we had this opportunity with the amazing message of Ron Paul in the GOP. So in the article I said, look, call yourselves blue Republicans to set yourselves apart from this party that maybe you've spent a lifetime despising for all I know. And in some cases for very good reason, right? The hijacking by the religious right, this neocon sentiment, you know, they call themselves conservatives, but actually, you know, there's this big warfare, welfare state, increased government, the reduced liberty, etc., etc. Nothing really conservative about it. Neocon instead. And obviously, that message resonated. I have to thank Israel Anderson, who runs Ron Paul Flicks, for being the first person to read that article and actually state publicly, this is going to be a thing. Blue Republican is a thing. I spoke to him the day it came out because I saw his comment to my article, and he helped to set up, he was instrumental in setting up Blue Republican, starting that day on Facebook, and before we knew it, we had thousands and thousands of people to, you know, join up on this new Blue Republican Facebook group, and we had the Twitter account, and also, within about a week or so, I was on the phone with Doug Weed of senior advisor to the Ron Paul campaign. What a huge honor. I was nobody before I wrote that article. You know, I was a bit of a punt even writing any articles. I mean, I think too many people have got too much to say on the internet anyway. And frankly, life is too short. So, you know, most of these billions of words that are wasted don't have a lot of impact. But I was lucky. What I wrote attracted some great people like Israel, and I always mention Zach Carter too. Zach Carter read that article, and he said it really resonated with him, and even had an impact on some of his family members, and he thought the message of that article, that appeal to the left, that finding common ground, was the way forward for liberty. And Zach, some of you may know Zach. If you don't, check him out. Frankly, I'm not worthy to have him helping me. He's the kind of man that should have hundreds of people helping him, given the sacrifices he has made for liberty. But he is one of those extraordinary people who likes to be in the background and get so much done. I kind of tease him because I don't really want to keep him in the background. I think he deserves lots of credit for all the amazing things he's done for Liberty and for Blue Republican and for me personally. But anyway, there I was sitting on my patio talking to Zach, and he kind of pledged his assistance in helping kind of get Blue Republican out into the mainstream. And within about a year, he arranged 50 or 60 interviews for me, and I did some great stuff. I was on IFT with Adam Kakesh. I was on Freedom Watch with Judge Napolitano, and countless radio shows, terrestrial and online. And I have Zach to thank for an awful lot of that. And we set up the Facebook group, as I said, but we also set up a website. BlueRepublican.org had its first incarnation, and on there, we put a video for how to. I'll carry on when I come back from the break. Went to the break there. I was just saying what happened when we set up the BlueRepublican.org website, which happened just within a week or two of that original Blue Republican article coming out. One of the people who came forward was an Elijah Stanfield, who was pretty handy with the video animation, and he was the guy that developed that video that many of you may have seen in 2011 about how to register Republican for Ron Paul in your state. If you weren't a Republican, if you were an independent, or you were maybe a Democrat, some states are caucus states, some states are primary states, some are open, some are closed, meaning that in some states you actually had to be Republican to participate in the primaries, in others you didn't. So Elijah helped, well, he didn't help, he actually, you know, he created that video, and all I did was voice it over. He did all the graphics. It's still available. You can kind of see what we were at if you can easily find that video. So really, BlueRepublican.org at that point was a kind of an informational hub. Well, we fought pretty damn hard for Ron Paul, and over the course of that year, I mean, what an amazing trip it was for me to meet many of you who I know are listening to this show, and just to get really involved in the American Liberty Movement and discover what it was. Finally, I discovered what it was I kind of came to America to do. It's been a really exciting few years of my life. And as I say, I've just met some of the best Americans, you know, American patriots in the real sense of that word. And by the way, the real sense of that word, if you go back to 1776 or the mid-18th century, when people said patriot, what they were talking about was not loyalty to, you know, an independent state or a particular piece of geography. It meant loyalty to the ideals that the founders believed they were conserving, the profoundly liberal, with a small L in the proper sense of the word, ideals that are there in the Bill of Rights and comes through this rich tradition going back actually 1,000 years to 1014 in Ethelred, with the first constitutional, liberal constitutional document ever written in the Anglo tradition, and come up through Magna Carta in 1215 and many other important dates through 1689, the original Bill of Rights, and then of course 1776, we get the founding of America and the American Constitution. So, yes, one of my little historical tangents there. Forgive me for that. I often do that. But I really want people to understand where this amazing legacy comes from. It's been hard won, and it's been messily won. And most of the work was done before anybody even said the word America. So we are walking in a very rich, tradition, and along a very important road. So anyway, my Blue Republican thing article hit, as I say, thanks to all these great people, and I found myself doing all these radio interviews and all of that. And so all of a sudden people were started to kind of read what I wrote. And I think a lot of the writing I did during the campaign kind of traces some of the unsaid thoughts and feelings of those of us who were really in the trenches for liberty during that fight. I wrote a couple of articles that really hit big again. There was one that was Ron Paul Can Win. One of my favorites, I think it was the favorites of a lot of my one of the favorites of a lot of my readers. I invite you to take a look at that. And then when he was cheated out of his nomination, I wrote Ron Paul Won, because of course, if the guy who comes first cheats, then in all fields of human endeavor, when a game is honestly played, the cheater is eliminated, which means that the guy who appeared to have come second, of course, actually came first. The guy who came second, his position isn't changed from second to first. It is revealed that he came first all along. And I have very strong feelings, as I know, I'm sure most of you, my listeners, do, about what was done to Ron Paul. So, yes. So, we ended up endorsing Gary Johnson. And long before I made that decision that Blue Republican should throw its weight behind Gary Johnson, which I did at the very end of the campaign, literally days before the presidential election. And I did it on the back of an extended interview. I personally interviewed Gary Johnson. That's on YouTube. The production quality is pretty low, but we covered some great topics, and he was a great interviewee. He got my name wrong, but who cares, right? So I actually had polled the Blue Republicans online, and it was clear that most of these Ron Paul supporters were going to vote for Gary Johnson. And so I kind of officially endorsed that with an article a couple of days before the election, which again was hugely trafficked because Gary Johnson and his campaign linked to it, unsurprisingly. So this speaks to an important thing I want to say about Blue Republican. Blue, because blue is the color of liberals in this country, uniquely in this country, of course, because the color of left nearly everywhere else is red and the color of right is blue, as it used to be here. But Blue Republicans subverts that left-right paradigm. We were being Republican, let's say, for good reason when we moved to the GOP for Ron Paul, those of us who did that. But we wanted to make that move without buying into the partisanship, hence Blue Republican, you know, mixing it up, saying our ideas don't fit your boxes, and also blue being, as I say, the color of liberals here. That's why blue Republican and Republican, just because Ron Paul was a Republican. And if it happened that Ron Paul had run a Democrat, then Blue Republican would have been called Red Democrat. And indeed, sometime later, I wrote an article called something like Blue Republican or Red Democrat, the Revolution Crosses Party Lines. And in that article, I endorsed a Democrat in a primary race over in New Jersey, I think. And you can check that out. The reason I'm telling you all of this, my friends, is there is nothing Republican in a partisan sense about Blue Republican. The name stays the name because of all this kind of marketing, all of this growth that was done with that name. And frankly, you know, some people say, well, you shouldn't call it Republican. Well, I understand. I know what they mean. Yeah, okay. Except that why should we concede that word to people who are abusing it? Blue Republican are truer to a lot of the principles that the Republican Party actually say they have, but haven't followed for years, than are the GOP themselves. And if we build something in our own right under that name, then why the hell shouldn't we? Now, some people say, well, there already is a Libertarian Party, and yes, there is. And I work pretty closely with some of the Libertarian Party. I will be speaking at their annual conference here in Seattle, the Washington State Libertarian Party annual conference, as I did last year. And I am very excited to work with some of their executives, especially Michael Pickens, who I had on the show a few weeks ago. I want to help liberty lovers and liberty advocates succeed in their advocacy, and I don't care about their label. So I work with the Libertarian Party. I work with the RLC. We've got the Republican Liberty Caucus. I'll work with anybody. I don't care what they call themselves. And, you know, we have the chair of Blue Republican Colorado, and I'll talk about the different state chapters later, but the chair of that chapter, Tisha Cassida, who I had on, I think, my second show, maybe third show, she's running unaffiliated. On principle, she will not affiliate herself with a party. And you know what? I say good luck to all of you. I respect Tisha's opinion about that. I respect the integrity that she displays by refusing to run under a party banner. I respect the pragmatism of those who have made an assessment that we live, unfortunately, in a corrupted, skewed two-party state, and that that's the best way to effect change, by affecting what is essentially one half of our political establishment, the Republican Party. And even if you don't like that, you've got to face the fact that the Republican Party isn't going away. And if you love liberty, surely you want it anywhere. We should all be celebrating the efforts of people to fight for liberty wherever they are, in any institution, and I don't even care if they're in the Federal Reserve Bank. In fact, frankly, that's where I would like people who love liberty. Sometimes I say, when I talk to people about this, if you were the devil who came, you know, come to convert, where would you want to speak from? You would want to speak from the pulpit of a church, wouldn't you? We're going into the break. More on this, you know, when I come back. Talking about how Blue Republican and me personally, how we support anybody who's fighting for liberty under whatever banner. I was talking about Tisha Cassida, who's running for Congress in Colorado, unaffiliated, no party affiliation. My friends in the RLC and those who have decided that the best way to actually change America is through effectively one half of its admittedly corrupt political establishment, the Republican Party. And also, I've been working closely with the Libertarian Party, and I'm really excited about what the Libertarians are doing to become, you might say, viable. I probably prefer mainstream. It's all about mainstreaming our ideas, both inside the party political system and outside it. And if you are fighting for liberty, whether you're doing that on a broad basis, or whether you have a particular issue that really fires you up, you know, whether it's the drones, whether it's hemp, whether it's gun rights, whether it's the civil rights problems we're facing, the Patriot Act and the NDAA, good luck to you. You're a friend of mine. You're a friend of mine. So, we built this Blue Republican brand, and we were actually the biggest coalition in support of Ron Paul's candidacy. We were the biggest, and I don't know if you remember, but Ron Paul, on his campaign page, he had a coalition page with logos for all of the coalitions for Ron Paul, you know, Women for Ron Paul and so on, Firefighters for Ron Paul, I mean, you name it, there was a coalition, Catholics for Ron Paul. We were the biggest one, which was also quite amazing. But what do you do when you build a brand like that? You know, Blue Republican, we've got this kind of political franchise. I'm just one guy. All I do is write articles, and I try and keep the brand pure. And many of you have read my stuff or heard me speak on this radio show know that I'm very skeptical of purism. I've talked about that at some length. But when I say now I've been trying to keep the brand pure, what I mean is we have to be true to our ideals, but that doesn't mean being dogmatic or being condescending. For me, what we're really about is turning those ideals into practical realities, because, you know, that means looking for common ground. So the other part of being pure is a kind of, it's kind of staying pure in terms of civility, you know, in terms of politeness, in the method, in the sales and marketing of our ideas, being kind, being welcoming, seeking first to understand before seeking to be understood. So when people come forward, and some, you know, I've been speaking to a lot of people recently who want to start a Blue Republican chapter in their state. This is something I talk about. You know, there's hundreds of fantastic liberty organizations out there, but we are as concerned not just with the philosophy, we're equally concerned with how we present it. And you know what? People who come off kind and tolerant and civil, they just make better salesmen. And we're salesmen, and our product is liberty. And I've said that many times. So these chapters, these state chapters. First off, anybody listening to this show, I invite you, if you live in any state in the union, in any major city, I invite you to go to bluerepublican.org and click on that link, establish a chapter. And there's a really kind of simple application. I will only kind of bother with applications that are completed, but it really will only take you a few minutes. We've already established chapters in Colorado, California, Tennessee, Houston and Austin, New Jersey, Minnesota, a few others. And this last week, I have been speaking to people in Ohio, Missouri, and Louisiana, all of whom want to start chapters. We have a little map on bluerepublican.org, and if you kind of, you can check the map and see if your state is blue, and if it is, then we have a chapter there. The purpose of these chapters is as follows. I'm one guy who writes articles. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know about the politics in Seattle or Washington State, you know, where I live. I can't possibly know everything that's going on. I don't know all the candidates. Like many Americans, I have recently moved to where I live. So the people who can leverage the work that has been done, what this brand represents, and the extensive social media presence and media presence that we have, are people there on the ground who know the politics in their communities, cities, states. I want those people, I don't want to do it, I want other people to say, okay, I believe in this Blue Republican thing, I can make a difference by using it to help others where I am. Now that might mean giving official endorsements to candidates, and anything from school board up to governor. You know, it's great to have a Blue Republican endorsement, I guess, for a governor of a state. But one thing that is becoming clear is for us, we're playing a long game. The Liberty Movement's playing a long game. And the local races are as important, if not more important, to actually build our presence on the ground over time. And I mean the Liberty Movement in general. So I need people on the ground to take this Blue Republican brand and attach it to good candidates, good causes, good events. And, you know, we are a free market for marketing freedom, right? This is not some kind of top-down thing. I'm just a guy who wrote an article. I've got a particular skill set. Other people coming forward, they have a skill set. Go use it. Some of the chapters are setting up events, some of which I'll be involved in, some of which I won't. But I certainly hope by the time we get to 2014 that we're going to have a list of great liberty candidates with a Blue Republican endorsement. And they are likely to be candidates that are clearly running against big statist neocon stroke progressives. And aren't they strangely the same thing at times? So that's kind of where we're going. And it's a long, long game. Long game. And, you know, I've not made any money out of this. But soon, we want to be asking for donations. We're going to need material resources. So if you're a follower of Blue Republican, you're probably going to see that at some point soon, a donation drive. But what I want to do is wait until we have enough active chapters on the ground so that when we do the national fundraiser centered around bluerepublican.org, that there's going to be enough people on the ground to really push that. And should it be successful, wouldn't it be great if we could send significant money to those chapters on the ground? Let's see how we do. It's very exciting. We actually had our first kind of organization-wide conference call just two or three weekends ago, and that was a real buzz. It's just kind of taken this whole thing to another level. And you know what? I think since I'm on a bit of a roll here, and this is kind of my monologue show, I think I'm just going to talk a little bit about that article that I wrote recently, Libertarian Purists, what did I call it? Libertarian About Everything Except Liberty. Yeah, that was the title. Libertarian Purists, Libertarian on Everything Except Purity. And it made a huge splash. I think it was one of the biggest in terms of readership that I've written for some while. And thank you to all of those, to all of you who shared it, who understood it, who read it carefully enough to understand it. Maybe I chose some wrong words, because when I used the word purism, from the scathing comments that some people left, the ones who seemed to completely get the wrong end of the stick, many of them in a similar way, or even in the same way, which was they thought that when I talked about libertarian purism, I was talking about a certain kind of libertarian, a certain version of the philosophy. Well, I did make it clear in that article that I wasn't talking about the content of anybody's beliefs. I don't think there's any right or wrong libertarianism. Well, there may well be, but we are imperfect human beings. And this was indeed the point of the article. All of us who cannot claim perfection and certainly cannot claim all knowledge and cannot claim intellectual perfection, let alone moral perfection, we would be well served in our cause by remembering that a successful libertarian society does well if it is populated by people who tolerate diversity, because tolerance is really the only prescription of the libertarian philosophy. I mean, tolerance as manifest in the non-aggression principle, right? Also, libertarianism is about saying, I don't know what's best for you. And you can live your life as you wish, as long as it doesn't harm me or anyone else. So that's a very kind of essential intellectual humility. So we've got tolerance and we've got humility. And the other thing is we want to get the state out of running people's lives. And we talk about civil society. Well, civil society depends on civility. It depends on caring for each other and taking some kind of personal responsibility for each other and our communities, and not farming that out, as it were, farming out our compassion to a state that in some cases quite arbitrarily co-opts resources and deploys them in very ineffective ways. Civility, tolerance, and humility. So my article was basically an argument that says, look, if we want to be credible in the eyes of those who we need to persuade, if we want to move forward politically, we should have those dispositions in how we discuss our libertarianism with each other, and indeed how we think about, this is my opinion, how we think about liberty for ourselves. And for me, there's kind of an irony, because I'm quite new to all of this, so this is something that really struck me. There's kind of an irony in being dogmatic in defending a philosophy that is about freedom, that's about not making anybody else live by my rules and having a whole political settlement that enables people to live by their own rules. It doesn't make much sense. It seems to be some kind of self-contradiction to be aggressive in the way that we communicate with people, to put people down because they're not where we are, especially, you know, if they, you know, we do this. I see a lot of this in the liberty movement, with people who want to exclude others who love liberty from that libertarian designation. And you know what? I could have just called that article, "Hey guys, it's never nice to be rude," or, you know, "Civil people persuade more people than uncivil people." I wasn't talking about any particular problem with the philosophy that any one of us holds. I don't know, we're all doing our best. But it's to recognize that we're all kind of doing our best. And you know, apply that humility within our movement, because that's what makes us seem more attractive to those who are on the outside. Because you know what? All of that lack of civility that sometimes we see, you know, you see it on Facebook on a bad day. It usually comes about when we're trying to win arguments against each other, and that's valuable. You know, anybody that has read my writing knows that I am, I do not have a problem with fierce argument. I think we need fierce argument just like we need rigorous thought, and we need the, you know, intellectual swords to clash. Of course we do, and that's the world I want to live in, and indeed I'm involved in some of those clashes. But there's, you know, you can clash with chivalry, I guess. Right, you can clash with chivalry. And remember that when we have those battles, most politics is the politics of identity, right? People look at the way we talk to each other. Looking non-libertarians, maybe. I think a lot of them look at the way we talk to each other and just go, oh, I just don't want to be like that, or I don't want to be involved in that. People buy products, including products that are ideas, including the ideas of liberty, from people they like, from people they can identify with. So, you know, that article was just a call for that. And you know what? I wrote also in that article about something that I discussed at length with a guest that I had on very recently, Matt Shea. Now, Matt Shea is a God-fearing, Christian, conservative, libertarian, who operates as a Republican in the legislature up here in my state, Washington State. He has been called one of the titanium legislators of our state because of how unbending he is on principle, and good for him too, I say. But we discussed at length that sometimes you just can't get everything your principles tell you you want. But getting halfway or getting a quarter of the way is not the same as conceding the other half or the other three quarters. It just means you'll take what you can get and you come back to fight another day. And so that's something else that article was about. That principle, if we love liberty and we have the principles of liberty, surely what we want to do is turn those principles into practical change. And sometimes that means working with a system that we wouldn't choose. Working with what is, recognizing our reality, doesn't mean condoning reality, the reality that we have that we're wanting to change. It just means, you know, that sometimes making statements of what is perfect is the enemy of the good if it stops us actually engaging and making the change. It's just so easy, isn't it, to sit in the armchair and look. You know, I put my hands up and say guilty. How many hours do I spend in my armchair? It's actually a couch where I sit and write my articles. Many, many. But those articles do nothing if people like Maciej don't say, well, I'm going to get my hands dirty and I'm going to recognize the difference between process, politics on the one hand, and principle. And, you know, there's a big difference between making statements and getting stuff done. And if you are going to make statements, and there is, of course, an important place for that, and it's something I do a lot, here I am making an hour-long statement on the radio. I mean, you know, this isn't lost on me. Let's at least make them in a way that make us attractive to the people whose help we need to change this nation for all the things that we believe in. My job is to keep writing, as I say, to keep this brand pure in the sense of being civil, being tolerant, being non-dogmatic. I talk about Blue Republican as being a group for the liberty curious. I'll finish that when I come back from the break. We'll be right back. I just use the term liberty curious, and what I'm talking about there is this. Look, all Americans who have care at all about their country, care at all about politics, are at least liberty curious. If they're not signed up members of the liberty movement, they've got some sense, hundreds, millions of Americans have some sense that the problems we're facing are to do with a deficit of liberty. And so, you know, I was a member of the soft left, you might say. You know, I was just liberal by default. Most people who don't care about politics, many people who are kind of educated, middle class, whatever, that's where they sit. But I was persuaded, and as I say, I'm about winning arguments. I'm about winning supporters and not arguments. I mean, obviously you have to win arguments to win supporters, but you have to be careful. Sometimes one can get in the way of the other. So we're an outreach, as I say, to the Liberty Curious. Now, if you want to be a part of that, we've got, at the time this show goes out, 14 or 15 states will have chapters in, Blue Republican chapters. So that means most of the country is still wide open. I want to cover the whole map Blue Republican. It doesn't matter if you are already signed up Libertarian or Democrat or Republican or none of the above on principle. It doesn't matter. We're not party affiliated. We're not a 501c3 or a C4 or a PAC, so we can do whatever we want. It's a brand that individual free volunteers can use to make a difference in their city or state. So please go to bluerepublican.org, fill in that application. Before you do that, make sure you've read some of my articles so you really know that you agree with me and you agree with this approach. My archive is on Huffington Post. Search my name, Robin Koerner, K-O-E-R-N-E-R. Go to benswan.com also. I have some articles there. You can check out a few speeches that are on YouTube that I've done, things like that. Make sure you're really comfortable. And then just come forward and we can have a chat and let's see if you feel that this really is a vehicle that you can use to change America in a direction that all of us want to move it toward. Again, bluerepublican.org, and also the Facebook group is very active. We're heading for 15,000 people there now. It's a great group. It's not your average libertarian kind of Facebook group. We're open-minded. We keep it interesting. We're broad-based. We're very welcoming. And I am just honored to have all of you there listening to me, listening to this show, and I invite you back next week. Thank you so much.
Talk for Revolutionary Times, WGRR Digital.